when I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation, or to take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, oh my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great.
Good afternoon, church. Good afternoon. We're so happy to be with you guys today. I'm still in shock that we're in January of 2026. But the Lord is still good, and His mercy endures forever. And as we are on this journey of the 40-day fast, we're on day number 11. And the Lord is just encouraging us, guys, you know, to keep going. And to press forward, knowing that He's already over there, and for us to put our faith and trust in Him. Amen. We are definitely in some very troubling times with a pandemic on the horizon, war on the horizon, the pestilence, plague, all that kind of stuff. But the Lord is our solid rock. And Pastor, He's going to talk to you guys today about watching, therefore, and praying. And I want to encourage you guys from the bottom of my heart that Jesus is the solid rock. When the storms are raging and the chaos is ensuing, this is where we stand upon the solid rock, not the shaky ground, not the sand, on the solid rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Matthew 16:18, "And I tell you, You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Psalm 62:2. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. 1 Peter 2:6. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So this evening, we stand upon the Word of God, that Jesus is our solid rock. He is going to carry us in the storm. Now, today I want to start off with a song. It's a very simple song, and it's an old hymnal that we used to sing back in the day. And it's called On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. If I can get it up here on the screen. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, on other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Isn't this beautiful, these old hymnals? His oath, his covenant, his blood, support me in... Uh-oh. Please tell me y'all can hear me. Okay, cool. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. So awesome. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Listen to this one. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's say that again. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. That is so awesome. Don't y'all just love them hymnals? Okay, here's another one, is Oceans. This is a more modern song. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, In oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Isn't that beautiful? Well, I guess that's all the songs I have in my spirit today. I'm going to go ahead and open this up to Pastor. Let me get him on the line. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you real good, but I would love it if you would let me pray for you before I let you get started.
Oh, I suppose.
All right, well, let's pray.
I really appreciate that.
Lord, we just thank you so much for even the honor, Lord, to worship you today. Lord, we thank you for the honor to even be able to gather together, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the honor to be able to worship your holy name and hear your word today, Lord. We just pray that you anoint Pastor, Lord, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. And I pray that you use him for your glory today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, sir, you got the floor.
Thank you very much. And thank you for that first song on Christ, the solid rock I stand, because that's going to go with this message. That's for sure. So it's finally starting to get a little chilly here. I finally started the wood burner. Actually, today is for the first day this winter. And I really didn't have to do that, but I thought, I got all this wood. I don't know what I'm going to do with. Because here in Tennessee, if you don't use your wood up once it gets cut, even if you keep it covered, you know, there's so much moisture and stuff like that under the trees and everything. Wood just rots quick, I noticed here in Tennessee. Anyway, so we started the wood burner up today, and we got a nice and toasty warm in here. I want to start out You know, I've been reading. I've got this old book that I picked up at a thrift store for $3. And it's a really neat little book. It's got a, I don't know if it's leather, kind of. I wish I could show it to you, but it says on the front, and it's really, I don't know what you call that, where the writing is really fancy, but it says the words of Jesus, okay? And he goes through, let's see, this book was published, copyright 1943 by John A. Dickinson Publishing Company, okay? And this book, and I never even picked up on this until just a little bit ago. It smells old. It's an old book. And I might even found this book. In fact, I come to think of it, I don't think I bought it at a thrift store. It was a book that I found in this house when we first got it here, and we was taking everything apart and throwing everything that was old and smelly and damp and everything. But I found this book here. And I kept it because just sitting here, you know, it smells like an old house, okay? And so I've been going through this book and reading it, and it's a really neat book. Again, I wish I could show it to you. It's got some really neat pictures in it, and the writing is really fancy and all that stuff. You know, it's a illuminated Bible, kind of, you might say. But it's interesting because Monday I had this, I don't know if you want to call it a dream or what, but I woke up real early Monday morning with a word on my mind. And that word is mesmerized, or mesmerized, okay? In the dream, that vision or whatever I had, it was sort of, I was reading from an old book, and I was just, wow, this book, wow, you know, and there was other people around me just looking at me, and you know, and I didn't know how to explain what I was reading in this book or these papers, you know, and it was an old book, you know, and I was mesmerized by it. Wow, you know? And I couldn't tell you what the topic was or what I was reading or anything. And then I woke up. And I'm like, wow, what was that about, you know? And so I kind of drifted back to sleep and right back where I was. You know? Looking in this book or these papers and going through it and kind of reading it and just like, wow, you know. And this happened about several times to where I'd wake up. And then it's like, okay, you know, and it's the middle of the night. So I fall back to sleep. And then when I finally woke up and says, you know, I got to get up, you know, write this down kind of. And the word mesmerized is the word. Okay, for that morning. And so I come out here and I look it up, and what does it mean? It means hold the attention of someone to the exclusion of all else, or so as to transfix them. You know, example, she was mesmerized by the blue eyes that stared so intently into her own. Now, the archaic word is hypnotize someone. He was mesmerized when at the point of death. And when I looked this up, I don't know why it said that, but that's what it said. And similar word is enthralled or spellbind. Okay. And then I went deeper, and what's another word for mesmerizing? Hypnotic, hypnotizing, spellbounding, bewitching, enthralling, and transfixing. You know, all suggest a trance-like state or an element of magic. Okay, this is what the definitions when I looked it up, you know, through often a figurative one, fascinating, captivating, engrossing, and magnetic, all describe someone or something that is, that has captured someone's attention completely. Okay? When I looked up that word, that's what I, you know, in the dictionary, when I looked it up. And then it says, you know, when it says, hold the attention of someone to the exclusion. Well, what does that mean? It's the act of preventing someone or something from entering a place or taking part of something. So, you know, when you're mesmerized at on someone or something, there's nothing else that can, you know, that can take its place. There, everything else is excluded, you might say. Okay, and then it says, all of all else, and so as to transfix them. And what is transfix? Cause someone to become motionless with horror, wonder, or astonishment, or in awe. And so when I wrote this all down and I looked it up Monday morning, and that's what I have. And so, and I never even thought about it until just a little while ago, how, wow, that's going along with my message, how I'm ending this, which you'll come to find out. And then here June sings the song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. And so, you know, and another thing, when I woke up and I got to thinking about it, you know, and I was so just like, whoa, you know, mesmerized by whatever this was, you know, these papers and this book. And again, I don't know what I was reading. I don't know the topic of it. I was just mesmerized, okay? And when I woke up, what, not only that word, but what came into my mind was, and I wrote it down here, Art Father, who art in heaven. And so that's what I prayed, you know, the Lord's Prayer, just that first verse, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name, you know. And so then I was praying, Lord, I just want to be, you know what, mesmerized. I want to be in awe, like it says here. I want to be transfixed on him. I want to be hypnotized on him, enthralled, you know, not the magic of him, but the awe of our God. Amen. We just want to be fixed on him. Amen. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. this is, messages come together here. So what I want to do is we're going to kind of go back to last week. And I just want to highlight some things from last week. And because I think it's so important that, you know, we be aware of what the scriptures say in such a time as this, okay? And what we talked about, the stories of betrayal, you know, a breach of trust, deliberate deceit, disloyalty, you know, and a lot of it with a malicious intent, you know, and it could be personal, political, national, or just, you know, general betrayal. And we ended what in Matthew 24, Mark 13 and Luke 21, you know, and in these scriptures that I read last week about this, what's the first words Jesus says in these? He's warning us. He says, take heed that you be not deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. Because if they're deceiving you and you're being deceived, most likely it's betrayal. You're being betrayed by someone, or it's, you know, it goes back to that book. If you guys remember last week, that's how I started last week's message about this book I read, Dare Call It Treason. And it's all about our government from way back. And I believe it's all happening now, right in our faces, if you have eyes to see. But anyway, you know, Jesus is saying, give careful attention to, take notice of, guard, note, consider, be mindful. You know, what is he, was it all about, you know? Not only did he use the words take heed and behold, he said, see, look, I told you, take notice. And also Jesus says, behold, in Matthew 24, verse 25, it says, behold, I have told you before. So it's like, hey, remember, not just then or now, but it's a warning. He's warning, warning, wake up, behold, take heed. Look what's happening right before your eyes. So, you know, we need to go back and read these three accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You know, because many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Matthew 24:10. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Verse 11 in Matthew. Over and over, Jesus warns us of betrayal and deception. And on top of all that, Jesus says in Mark 13:4, that when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. I want to stop there in the middle of that verse. Be ye not troubled. It's very important. You know, and that's why I want to go over this and express this. You know, this is all instructions for us today. He's saying, you know, look what's going to happen. Take notice. Behold. But be ye not troubled. People that aren't reading the word and not seeing, okay, what's coming when it happens upon them, they're going to be greatly troubled. They're going to be transfixed on the wrong thing. They're going to be mesmerized in the darkness of it all. Then he goes on, for such things must need be. These things are going to happen, what he's telling us. And then it says, but the end shall not be yet. You know, we're seeing all these things coming upon us. We know what's coming. We're taking heed to what he's telling us. We're right in the middle of it all. And he says, but the end shall not be yet. You know, let's go to Mark 13. Mark 13, verse 7. And this is, again, this is the signs of the end. And to start at verse 5, he says, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear wars and rumors of wars, are we not hearing that? You know, our president, he's a warmonger. I seen a thing the other day about all the different countries. There must have been a dozen of them since he's been a president that he went in and started war. And then they give him some award for Mr. Peace, you know, the being peace. No, he's a warmonger. Be ye not troubled. There it is. For such things must need be, but the end shall not be yet. So don't be troubled. We're right in the middle of it all, you know. You don't want to stop there, you know, and say, wow. You know, there's so much more we could read or could, you know, should read here in these scriptures. And as I have read in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 about the end times, that it should stir our hearts and our minds. Because, wow, are we not seeing more of this, of these warnings of Jesus every day? You know, are we? Every day it's something new. You know, distraction after distraction, deception after deception, delusion. I mean, this is crazy, ain't it? But be not troubled, you know. It's exciting. You got to keep that mindset. That's what I'm trying to do. I didn't think I was going to get into these scriptures today. You know, when I was, I'm reading what I wrote when I started with this message. I didn't think I was going to get into this, but, you know, I think we need to be really taking heed, beholding what's going on, getting it all settled in our hearts. You know, we are here at such a time as this. Amen. You know, sit back and say, wow, Lord, here we are, you know, in the midst of everything you told us, Lord. Take a deep breath in, out. Relax, relax. Now what, Lord? You know, prepare our hearts. Amen. You know, as I believe, and I have said before, you know, so many times, as I ponder these times and I sit before the Lord and I just wonder, what next? You know, June, every day, you know, she pulls all this stuff up, what's going on in the world, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, I wake up and June's already up, you know, I'm preparing stuff and she starts telling me stuff and I'm like, you know, so when I get up in the morning, I'm like, okay, what next? What's going on today, Lord, you know? And so what comes to my mind? Let's turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. You know, God is our refuge and our strength. Amen. But the scripture that comes to me all the time is verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Amen. You know, we need to be mesmerized by the Lord. You know, we want to exalt him. We want to be still. Just go, wow, Lord. Look what's going on out there in this world. But I want to read this whole psalm because it's not that long. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Be not troubled. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her and that right early. Amen. Woo. Early in the morning and the rest of the day through. Verse 6, the heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and he cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of our Jacob is our refuge. Selah. So right now, Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are our refuge and our strength, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that as we just get mesmerized on you, Lord, we keep our hearts and our minds focused on you, Lord, because you are the Lord of hosts, and you are with us. You are our refuge and our fortress. Amen. Woo. So be still and know that the Lord is our God. Amen. So now I want to go back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And there's something. Okay, where was it here? Okay. Again, you know, this is, you know, Matthew 24 is about the destruction of the temple and the signs before the end, okay? And we read a lot of this all last week about, you know, how we're going to be offended and betrayed and deceived, you know, by all these false prophets and all that stuff. But I want to read starting with verse 36, okay? But of the day and hour, no man knows. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They didn't realize, you know, what was going to happen to them. Verse 40, then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Verse 42, there it is. Watch. And that's the word I want to focus on here for a little bit. Watch, therefore, for ye know not the hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You know, we don't know what hour the Lord's coming, but know this, right? If the good man, that's us, each one of us, put your name there, of the house, you know, most of us are, you know, what comes through our door, what happens in our house, we're the good man. We're supposed to be watching. Right? That's what he's telling us. The good man of the house had known. You know, he's saying, you know, if you don't know, if you're not watching, you're going to suffer. His house is going to be broken up. That's not good. That's why we have to watch, therefore. You know, we don't know the hour he's coming, but we got to watch and be ready. Amen. You know, we have to keep our focus where our focus is supposed to be. You know, in going back to Mark 13, or not, I shouldn't say back, let's go to Mark 13. Again, you know, this is signs of the end, Mark 13, and verse 24, what's it say? But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Yes. Woo! All right. You know, there's going to be people around, you know, and I always thought to myself, you know, I'm going to live long, prosperous, and old, you know, and I see the Lord come back on that white horse with great power and glory. Verse 27, and he shall send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that the summer is near. Verily, I say, so ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. All what things? All the things that he's telling us are going to happen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of the day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Verse 33, there we go. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Watch and pray, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servant. Authority to who? His servants, us, let's just say. And to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. To what? To watch. Verse 35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. We're not supposed to be sleeping. We're supposed to be watching, paying attention. Verse 37, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. That word watch, that's what I wanted to focus on here. We need to watch, be aware. Amen. Let's go to Luke 21. Luke 21. You know, Luke 21. Let's see here. Again, you know, it's about the latter days, you know, right before. And let's go down. Okay, it's the parable of the fig tree, okay? And that's where I want to start in verse, you know, again, the first part of Luke 21 is all about take heed, be not deceived, and, you know, everything we talked about last week, okay? But verse 29 is starts the parable of the fig tree. And he spoke to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of yourselves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. All that he's telling us about, all that he's telling us to be aware of and behold and take heed. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. Here we go, verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. You know, the day of the Lord. We don't want it to come upon us unaware, even though we don't know it. That day or the hour or the time, but we know it's coming and it's going to be soon. For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That's interesting. It says, for as a snare it shall come on all them. You know, it's going to, the snare just happens fast, coming along in life and whammo. Like a snare and grabs you up. That's why verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, when I read this, it says, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that should come to pass. You know, because they're going to happen fast. We can see it, you know. Let's turn to Revelation 1. Well, wait, I want to go back, because when I was reading this, I thought, I'm going to check something out. And I've got this commentary book. It's called The Bible Reader's Companion, Your Guide to Every Chapter of the Bible, okay, by Lawrence O. Richards. And I thought, I'm just going to look this up quick. And Revelation 3, because that's where we're reading from here, where I want to read Revelation. Well, we're going to get into Revelation 3, but when I was reading this, let's see now, where was that? Okay. In Revelation 3 is, you know, the first part, the first couple chapters of Revelation. It's the letters to the seven churches of Asia, okay? And to me, personally, I look at it as the church of today. And, you know, and you can read all kinds of commentaries and stuff about the different churches and what each one means and all that, you know. And we're not going to get into all that. But it's the letters to the seven churches of Asia. And to me, it's, you know, again, it's instruction for us. He says, wake up. And this is, he's talking about Revelation 3, verse 2. It's the call is for a constant alertness, just the opposite of the spiritual lethargy which sapped the vitality of the church at Sardis. Okay. Now, when I read that, I'm thinking, wow, You know, here he is saying that, you know, in his commentary, that this verse is talking about spiritual lethargy, if I'm pronouncing that word. It sapped the vitality of the church of Sardis. And I'm thinking sapped. What does that mean? It takes away the vitality. It takes away the, you know, the gumption, or, you know, it's draining people. You know, we don't want that to happen to us. We don't want, you know, our vitality sapped, drained. Amen. You know, the situation is so serious that the first order of business is to strengthen what remains. Okay, I'm reading what he's saying here about this verse. And so I want to, let's go to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, verse 2. And what's it say? Okay, this is a message to the church at Sardis. And it says, verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, verse 3, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come to on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come upon thee. You know, but he's saying, you know, that, you know, the church in Sardis, they've been sapped of their vitality. You know, and he says the situation is so serious that the first order of business is to strengthen what remains. How many people out there in the church today that are really seeing what's going on all around? And are you being zapped of your vitality about it? Are you just living in fear or just whatever? I don't know what other word to use right off. Your vitality, you know. He says here, rather than recapture an earlier commitment, even their past deeds are not complete, probably meaning they fall short of the standards of love, faithfulness, perseverance, and commitment required of Christians. You know, we have to have a, you know, very, you know, really be faithful. Have a strong faith. Perseverance. You know, be not troubled. Now, I want to read, okay, and he's given a commentary on this verse 4. And it says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. In this commentary, he says about they are worthy, even in an apostate church, our age, God reserves some who are faithful to him. Soiled clothing in the first century kept a person from ceremonies honoring pagan deities. There's likely a touch of irony there. The pagans worried about externals. What Christ cares about is whether a person walks with, stays in fellowship with him. And so when I read that, I thought, he says, even in an apostate church or age. Okay. And I believe we're there now. apostate. What does that mean? Falling away. Someone or a group of someones, I wrote, you know, when I looked this up, who consciously and willfully abandons the Christian faith they once professed. Standing away from or falling away from the truth, doctrine, and covenant community, often characterized by hypocrisy, leading others astray, and rejecting sound teaching for selfish desires. It is a decisive, irreversible turning from God, distinct from mere backsliding or struggling faith, often involving a complete breakdown of morals and spirituality. As warned about in the books of Hebrews and Jude and 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 17, where it warns of a great falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And so when I looked that word up, and that's kind of what I come across. And so I thought, that's interesting. You know, and to me, we're seeing that today. So what I want to do, let's go to Revelation 1. Revelation 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, okay? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which were written therein, for the time is at hand. You know, we're seeing the apostasy. We're seeing everything that Jesus warned us about, to watch and behold and beware and all that. So, Lord, we thank you right now. Lord, I ask that you would bless each person hearing this message today, Lord. Your word says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which were written therein, for the time is at hand, Lord. So I thank you for your word, that each person that hears this message will be blessed as he reads and he ponders and he thinks on your word, Lord, that they would not be deceived. They would not be betrayed. So we just thank you, Lord, for your word right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Let's turn to Revelation 3. Again, Revelation 3. Revelation 3, and I want to start with verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write. Okay, and I want to stop there. And let's just put, you know, your name in there. You know, we are the church. You know, not, it's not a building. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, and thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come to on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what the hour I will come upon thee. And I just want to stop there on this. It says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. We're receiving, we're hearing God's word. You know, when you're reading the scriptures, you know, on your own quiet time, if you're reading out loud, you're hearing his word, and you're going to hold fast to his words. And if you have to, you're not holding fast, you're not obeying, repent, it says here. Not too many people talk about that word. We're not going to get deep into it or anything, but you know, if you're not beholding, you're not taking heed, and you're willingly ignorant, we best be repenting. You know, every day, I know there's many days I have to, just for little things. Amen. Let's go to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. My Bible's falling apart in the back. This one anyway. This is the one I've been using for a lot of years. Revelation 16. And I just want to start with, I just want to read one verse. You know, this is Revelation 16 is about the vials of wrath. You know, some call it the bowls. You know, it's judgment. And we're not, I'm not going to read through that. This, you can on your own time. I just want to read one verse. Verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. You know, Jesus is you know, he's speaking, he's warning and a promise. You know, this is right between the sixth and seventh vials of judgment. He's declaring, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. You know, he uses the thief analogy to emphasize his sudden and unexpected return, urging believers to remain vigilant and to prepare for his second coming. You know, we need to be vigilant. Unlike the unprepared who be caught away, you know, unaware, kind of like, I'm trying to think of that story. Anyway, this reinforces, and I want to emphasize this reinforces that the entire Book of Revelation is the testimony of Jesus Christ, even during these descriptions of judgment. You know, people don't want to hear about judgment. They don't want to hear that our country is under judgment. And the list is pretty long, I'm afraid. I don't know if you can agree with me on that. You know, there's many reasons why our nation is under judgment. The world is under judgment. And people don't want to hear that. You know, the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Are we ready? Are we ready? Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. And these next scriptures that I'm going to be reading here, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Peter, these are instructions, okay? And let's just start with verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, okay, that's right now, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, the bride, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. You know, the dead in Christ who died, like a dear friend of ours who just passed away, Calvin. Tomorrow we're going to go to his funeral. He's sleeping right now. The day of the Lord, we're going to rise up together. You know, like I said, I hope to be alive when Jesus comes back and see him on that white horse, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, you know, if we're alive when he comes back or we're sleeping, like my dear friend Calvin, we should live together with him when he comes back. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Lord, that we are the children of the light. Like your verse, like it says right here, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So, Father God, we thank you right now. Lord, I pray. Your word says you are light and there is no darkness in you. So I thank you, Lord, you'd pour out that light upon each one that hears this message, Lord. That glorious light of peace and joy, happiness, and all the fruits of your spirit, Lord. Pour out the light of your glory upon us, Lord. And pour out the light of your word, that it would be saturate every fiber of our being. And so that when the time comes of testing, Lord, the light of your word will just rise up in us like your word says it will. We don't have to think about it. It will just rise up in each one of us, Lord. So bless us, Lord, with the light and glory of your word when the time is needed. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Peter.
Now, Pastor, while you're turning, I just want to say that I believe when people die, they go straight to heaven. I don't believe they're sleeping. I believe he is running around up there with the Lord and excited with his family. He got to, you know, see his parents and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Well, that could be too. Hopefully so. I'm just reading the word. That's what it says there.
Where was that?
I just read the word, and it says if you're awake or you're asleep, when Jesus comes back, that's when he's going to gather everybody up together.
I see. I do see that. Okay, sir.
So, however it happens, praise God.
Woo! Amen. Can't wait. Amen.
Amen. So, let's turn to 2 Peter. Chapter 3, again, instructions, amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, again, this is about living in the hope of the Lord's coming, all right? And I was going to start at verse 9, but I think I'm just going to start at verse 1. This epistle, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. We know we need to stir up our minds, don't we? That you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. You know, we're supposed to be stirred up. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Must be talking about Noah's days. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Whew. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. You know, God's not under any timeline. He created time. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away, and with a great noise the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Whew. There's the global warming. You know, they keep talking about global warming. Good old Al Gore there. Nah, this is the global warming. In fact, in my Bible here, I wrote global warming to the max. And I got parentheses there. And that's the global warming. When the Lord comes back, whew, seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hasting, you know, the earnest desiring unto the coming of the day of God. Therein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. Again, global warming. And all the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Let's stop there. That ye be found in him in peace. Father God, right now, I just thank you. Your word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Father God, I thank you that your Spirit will be poured out upon each one that hears this message today, that they will be free from anything that would deter them from having peace. Because we need to be walking in peace. You know, if you're walking this way or that way and you're not in peace, you're walking the wrong way. So Father God, I thank you for the Spirit be poured out upon each person, that they would be set free from whatever it is that is keeping them from walking in peace. That the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, we can't even fathom your peace, Lord, that it would guard over each one here today, Lord, their heart and their mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And verse 15 says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom giveth unto him, hath written unto you, unto me. Amen. Yes. Verse 16, as also in all epistles, speaking them as of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So it's kind of a warning here, you know. If they're not beholding and studying the scriptures and not, you know, learning, you know, we ain't going to know it all. None of us do. We're not going to have it all down. But we're somewhat learned. We know the Lord's coming. We can see around us what he's telling us. But if you don't, you know, they do also, as the scriptures say, unto their own destruction. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, like Jesus says, I've told you before, I'm telling you again, here and here and here, beware, lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And when I was reading this, I was, you know, I thought about this here. You know, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. You know, we don't want to be in error of the wicked. We don't be led away by the wicked. You know. Amen. So Father God, right now, we just thank you, Lord, that we can grow in grace according to your word in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen is what your word says. So we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, and I pray that each one of us out there, according to your word, in Luke 21:36, it says, watch ye therefore and pray always. Lord, I pray right now that each one of us will be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And so we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory, Lord, right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So everybody, thank you for coming here. I hope this word is encouraging, that we need to stand fast. Keep our, you know, our guard up. And be aware of what's going on around us. Amen.